Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We will look at the whole chapter this morning. And we will start this morning by reading it. So 2 Timothy chapter 3. You'll notice that the translation starts out, but, mark this, so there's contrast here. He's actually talking to Timothy about being gentle and kind with those who don't understand, and helping them and guiding and directing them in the truth. Then in chapter 3, he starts out, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. And he starts with a list now of characteristics of these terrible times. The first one, actually, lovers of themselves, really is the basis for the rest of this list. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, except for themselves, of course, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power. That's quite the list, isn't it? This is what people will be like in the last days. Have nothing to do with them, Paul tells Timothy. You know, he's preparing Timothy for the work, encouraging Timothy while he's doing the work. Verse 6, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men opposed the truth. Men of depraved minds, who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. You, however, know all about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings, what kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, the persecutions I endured. Yet the Lord rescued me from all of them. Just want to pause there for a moment and just remind us of what's happening here. Paul, a spiritual mentor to Timothy, is preparing him for the work. He's encouraging him in the work, so that he will be effective. He knows that Timothy will face these kinds of people, persecutions just like he faced, and he's telling him how to be effective. So, back to verse 12. In fact, everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse. That list there is a list of bad actors, people doing bad things, and Paul tells Timothy that will go from bad to worse. While evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy needs to be prepared for that. You and I do as well. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. There is a warning about false teachers here And Paul tells Timothy, he's referring to that, you learn the truth from certain people. Continue in that. Beware of these false teachers. Verse 14 again. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed. Our brother reminded us this morning. These are God's thoughts. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And certainly he's directing that at Timothy. You, as a man of God, you are thoroughly equipped for the work, for every good work. I have in your notes, as we start out here this morning, Romans chapter 1, verses 29 to 32. And let's read that together here. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness. Just as a reminder to you, these are wicked people who suppress the truth, Paul is talking about in the first chapter of Romans. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, and obviously that's my bold font there. They invent ways of doing evil. We've got some pretty terrible lists here in these two passages that we've already read in 2 Timothy, and now here in Romans chapter 1. And remember, Paul tells Timothy in our passage this morning that evil men will go from bad to worse. So we have to multiply the level of sinfulness to these lists that were written in the first century. They disobey their parents. That one's listed, and that's mentioned in both these lists. Disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. This could be very discouraging for us as we live our lives now, as the Word of God tells us about the evilness in the world, and it's only goes from bad to worse. And there's no doubt that through the ages, serious Christians would have looked at their surroundings and would have been amazed at the spiritual and moral depravity of their time. Serious Christians, people who loved God and lived for Him. Well, the same is true today. We look at our surroundings, and things are very, very bad. And if that is not your thought, then you need to be warned. It could be like the proverbial frog in the pot that isn't aware just because it's around them all the time. And you grow up with it and you see the sinfulness and you become insensitive to it. But we know what happens to the frog in that proverb. We need to be very, very careful that we are not desensitized to sin in the world. It is terrible. It is bad. And if we don't think that, then we are not understanding the holiness of God. But looking around us today and seeing the moral depravity, it would be easy to say that things are so bad that there is little to be done. What can I do? How can I have any kind of impact in this world when there is so much sin and it's going from bad to worse? Well, that would be an unbiblical way of thinking. Our circumstances, what we see around us, as bad as it is, should never dictate our efforts to do the work that God has given us to do. And I'm making the assumption that we all understand that there is work for us to do. We've read about it and talked about it often just recently. So there's work to do. And in these last days, a Christian can be spiritually effective in this world in many ways. But this will only happen if they have a firm foundation in the Word of God. Let me repeat that. We can be effective spiritually in many ways, but this will only happen if we have a firm foundation in the Word of God. Believers who are biblically weak, ones who do not have a firm foundation in the Word of God, will not separate themselves from the world, will not be wise, will not be prepared for the battle, and will not equip themselves for the work to which they have been called. The Word of God provides all that we need for these areas. And if we neglect it, we will be ineffective in bringing glory to God on this earth. So I will ask you the question, are you doing what you need to do to make yourself firmly grounded in Scripture? And if we don't, we will find ourselves as ineffective. That is in an epistle in the New Testament that tells us we can be ineffective. And I can't remember where it's at right now, but we can be ineffective. There is weakness in the church and great sinfulness in the world. I do not say that in judgment. I just say that as an observer. When there is weakness in the church, it's because there is weakness in Scripture by individuals, by God's children. Are you and I prepared to have an impact in the world and in the church in both these areas? Have we grounded ourselves in God's truth to the point we can effectively carry out the work He has given us to do in terrible times? So, the title of my message is The Key to Effective Ministry in Terrible Times. I've already mentioned it. It comes from being firmly grounded in God's Word. So, we'll look at that this morning. The believer must be firmly grounded in God's Word to be spiritually effective in terrible times. Those are the days that we live in. The Word of God has the answers for all life's questions and problems. For the unbeliever, it has the gospel. That's what they need to hear. And for the believer, obviously, it tells us how to live a holy life. In the church today, unfortunately, sometimes, oftentimes, the encouragement is to be more like the world and even how we try to reach the world instead of standing for the truth. That is, don't be offensive. Be more like the world, as crazy as it sounds. But the more terrible times become, the more we need to be drawn back to Scripture to be effective. So it is not to be abandoned, the Word of God, when sin is more prevalent. It is to be sought out more. And this is the message that Paul gave to Timothy, and is one that the church needs to hear today. So again, the believer has to be firmly grounded in God's Word to be spiritually effective in these terrible times, and we live in terrible times. So we'll look at four different areas that we need to be reminded of and how to be effective, to have spiritual effectiveness by being grounded in God's Word. And the first one is this, that God's Word teaches us to be separate from the world. And others have brought this up in the last weeks. And here it is again in God's Word. So the terribleness of times, verse 1, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last day. Paul speaks of it in the last days in this passage, and it has everything to do with the people that inhabited the earth at that time. He looked around himself and saw that times were terrible, and as we will see, as he is speaking of a time that he anticipates Timothy enduring. That's what these letters were for, his training and teaching Timothy. So, in Paul's mind, certainly he anticipates Timothy going through these times before the Lord removes the church from the earth. And Paul believed that the Lord's return was never far off, and that's the attitude that all Christians should have in every age. And he knew that his exit was coming soon. We read that other places in Scripture as he writes to Timothy and tells him that he's not long for this world as he is writing. And he wanted Timothy to be forewarned about the last days. The people of that time will live, as we read in that list, with the idea that they themselves are the most important of anyone alive. And that's what this list describes. People who have themselves at the forefront of their minds all the time. And we hear it all the time now. How important it is that you love yourself. How important it is that you take care of yourself before you do anything for anybody else. And unfortunately, that's gotten into the church's council as well. And that's a shame. Because that is certainly not of the Lord. It is of Satan. So let's take a closer look at this list, because we're talking about how we need to be separated from such a list. And that is a struggle for us, so we need to be reminded. We would never want to think of ourselves being described in any way that Paul describes the people in terrible times in the last days, but we need to take this as a warning. So verse 2, people will be lovers of themselves. As I mentioned, some Christians think they must love themselves before they can love others. And that is the world's counsel. Clearly here, Paul is telling Timothy to avoid this. This is a whole list of things you need to avoid. These are how sinful people will act in terrible times in the last days. How we can look at this, how any Christian can look at this and say, okay, I need to love myself, is amazing, because it's clearly taught in Scripture just the opposite. What will people be like in terrible times in the last days? Well, they will love themselves. They will love themselves. And as I mentioned before, loving yourself results in the rest of this list. Let's look at this. Lovers of money. They love money to spend it on their most valued person, and that is themselves. Scripture tells us that the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. And then we see boastful. They are their favorite person. Love to talk about themselves. Proud. Proud of all that they do, especially their sin. Have you ever heard unbelievers boast about their sin? They're proud of it. They are abusive. Since they are the most important, what's wrong with hurting others who are inferior to them? They're the most important. Can abuse others, not a problem. Disobedient to their parents, and they even disrespect their own parents. Again, no one is important as they are, so whoever it is, even their own parents, no need to be obedient. Ungrateful. Why should they express thanks when they are deserving of all that they get? Unholy. No regard for righteousness as this world interfere with self-indulgence. Without love. You and I know love means to sacrifice for others. Love, that's not in their vocabulary, the others. Unforgiving. If anyone dare offend them, they would not deserve to be forgiven. So why would they forgive others? Slanderous. Lies about others are never out of bounds. The damage they cause does not concern them. Why would they care? These are people who are lovers of themselves. Without self-control. To those who feel they deserve anything they want, why control yourself? This world is here for them. Brutal. So they're not just mean. Not just unkind, they're over the top with their behavior. Not lovers of the good. No desire for the good, except in that they might benefit from it somehow, but they are hostile to virtue. and treacherous. This word actually means to be a betrayer. Their loyalty is only to themselves. Rash, falling headlong into situations without caring who they affect or hurt. Never thinking things through, doesn't matter. Do what I want, what I see is good for me. Conceited. They see themselves as not only good, but also as the source of their goodness. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. The items above bear this out clearly. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. A form of godliness, but denying its power. A form of godliness. That's a little hard to understand for me, but Titus 1:16 might shed a little light on that. They claim to know God. And in the context, the letter that Paul writes to Titus, the they here are people who are unbelievers, who are corrupted, specifically. They claim to know God, but by their actions they deny Him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. This is a very specific and particular list about the unbeliever and people who are lovers of themselves. Paul gives the list, gives the description. What's the very next thing he says to Timothy? Have nothing to do with them. Have nothing to do with them. I think in part, and this isn't in your notes, but Paul's probably protecting Timothy when he says have nothing to do with them, because this kind of behavior has a way of making Christians more accepting of evil. If you're rubbing shoulders with them, spending time with them, and we'll talk about evangelism in just a moment, you just need to be careful. He says, have nothing to do with them. In other words, separate yourself from those who are characterized by these things. Well, Paul encourages evangelism to this type of people, and absolutely, we are to take that same call to present the gospel to people who act like this. It needs to be understood that he's telling him not to be accepting or tolerant of their lifestyles. We need to be aware of that. If we find ourselves enjoying the company of people who live like this, that's a big problem. If their lifestyle isn't offensive to us because it offends a holy God, then we have been desensitized to sin. Do we try to reach out with them with the gospel? Absolutely. But we are not accepting of that type of lifestyle. Scripture teaches us to separate ourselves from this life. And if we don't, we will be ineffective in spiritual ministry. Because they will look at us and say, you're not much different than myself. You spend time with me. You're not offended by what I do. People should be able to see a difference in our lives. Maybe it's a difficult balance to strike, but we have to do it so that we show a difference in our lives, that we are separate from the world. We do not accept that type of lifestyle. We can love them and are commanded to love them, but we need to be separate. The believer must be firmly grounded in God's word to be spiritually effective in terrible times. If we are not firmly grounded in God's word, we will look at a lifestyle like that and say, well, it's not, you know, it's bad, I understand that, but you know, let's not get carried away. Are you firmly grounded in God's word? Are you firmly grounded? We have to be effective spiritually in these terrible times that we live in. Well, one way that we will be different and separate from the world if we are grounded in Scripture is that we will have wisdom that the world does not understand. So let's take a look at this, and we'll pick this up in verses 6 through 9. So Paul goes on to say, they are the kind, this terrible list that he describes, they are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. And still speaking of this same group, Paul tells Timothy that these are the kind of people who take advantage of weak-willed women. They are false teachers. And specifically, as we look at this list, proud, abusive, ungrateful, unholy would describe, a person who would take advantage of weak-willed women. And Paul further describes these women as loaded down with sin and swayed by all kinds of evil desires. In other words, no self-control. They're always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. And this reminds us a lot of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I have this here for you, so let's take a look at this. This always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Isn't it so true that this world thinks they are so wise, thinks they are wiser than God, of course, no time for his truth, for his truth, and looks at someone who would believe the Bible and Scripture as fools. And remember, we were just taught here in this passage that evil men go from bad to worse, so that kind of thinking towards the believer will only grow stronger. So the world's wise in its own eyes. The world is ever learning, but cannot grasp the truth. Always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. Jannes and Jambres are thought to likely have been Pharaoh's magicians who opposed Moses in Egypt, and are examples of the men that Paul is speaking about now. They have depraved minds and have been rejected by God. Verse 8, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men oppose the truth, men of depraved minds who, as far as the faith is concerned, are rejected by God. And their foolishness will be apparent to everyone eventually, just like Jannes and Jambres. Christians need to start relying upon the truth, the Word of God, for wisdom. Do we do that? Are we grounded in Scripture? Many want so much to combine the world's wisdom with Scripture so that they can be seen as wise in the world's eyes. Be very, very careful of that. You'll see it in Christian counseling. People who, for whatever reason, want to have the acceptance of the world, and I think it's because they think, well, we can be more effective in the world if we show them that we accept some of their truth. But that is exactly what Satan would want us to do. To rely upon and be grounded in Scripture means that we have the confidence that we have the truth that makes us effective in other people's lives, and that we do not need the wisdom of the world. Do not seek the world's wisdom. Do not seek the world's acceptance. That is the path of destruction. And since the Scripture makes us wise for salvation through faith in Christ, verse 15, then we should be confident that it will be more, that it will more than suffice for every need we may have. If it's sufficient to save us from our sin, the greatest need that we've ever had, how would it not be sufficient for every other need that we have? The believer must be firmly grounded in God's word to be spiritually effective in terrible times. Well, let's move on. We should never wonder if there will be a battle as Christians, that spiritual battle. Only when will the battles take place? We need to be prepared for them every day. And we can be victorious in these battles if we operate as God tells us to. So our third point here, God's word prepares us for the battle. And we're looking at being spiritually effective in terrible times. We live in terrible times, terrible sinfulness. If we are not victorious in the spiritual battle, how will we be effective in these terrible times that we live? Now, this particular passage does not tell us how to prepare for spiritual battles, so to speak. Other passages, such as Ephesians 6, do. This passage does, however, prepare us for the battle by letting us know that they will happen. How often do you think to yourself, I need to prepare myself today for the battle? If we are not in Scripture, we are not prepared. So Paul reminds Timothy first about his teaching. In verse 10, you, however, know all about my teaching. Many have taught this here at Believer's Fellowship, that your doctrine is important. And even though some may say that it's not, what you believe will dictate how you live. What you truly believe will dictate how you live. So Paul says, you, however, know all about my teaching. And look at this, right on the heels about my teaching, my way of life. What I teach is how I live. So he tells him about my way of life. He speaks about his persecutions and sufferings. But he says, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, persecutions, sufferings. What kinds of things happened to me in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, the persecutions I endured. So he speaks to about his persecutions and sufferings, many different places, and how the Lord has rescued him from all of them. Paul was a man of doctrine, and his knowledge of God's word must have been a great source of encouragement for him during the battles, during that persecution, during that physical pain, being abandoned by others. I have to believe that the emotion goes away at that point, and you're left with what you truly believe. And he tells Timothy that for everyone who wants to live a life of purpose, faith, patience, love, endurance, he talks about in verse 10, or a godly life, will be persecuted. Timothy was also told not to expect these things to get better. Rather, things will only get worse as evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Have we firmly grounded ourselves in Scripture to prepare for the battles? Knowing the Word of God academically is not the same as having confidence in it. We show that we are grounded in God's Word most by doing what it says. We can read the words, we can memorize the verses, but do we do what it says? You know this passage, James 1, verses 19 through 25. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. The righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. James talks about it as well. The evil that is so prevalent. Terrible times. In the first century, terrible times. They say it only goes from bad to worse. We must be living in terrible times. It's easy to see it as we look around us. Anyway, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, I think that is equivalent to being grounded in Scripture, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. And I think being blessed in what he does is equivalent to being spiritually effective during terrible times. Prepare yourself for the battles that will in no doubt come. Do what the word says. The believer must be firmly grounded in God's word to be spiritually affected in terrible times. Finally, look at our last point here. Being firmly grounded in the word of God puts us in the place to do the work. If we're not firmly grounded in Scripture, we probably will not have a desire to do the work. But we want to do it effectively. Nothing else can do this. If we want to be spiritually effective, we cannot neglect the Word of God. So finally, God's Word equips us for His work. And Timothy is to continue what he has learned, which is nothing else than the Scriptures has been taught to him by Paul and others. He is to take the doctrine that he has been taught and continue to allow it to dictate his behavior. Verse 14, but as for you, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. Their testimony goes before them, certainly Paul's, as opposed to false teachers. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. As we saw before, they make us wise for salvation, and because they are God-breathed, they are also useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every good work. I think every good work means spiritually effective work. So Paul knows that he will go to be with the Lord soon. As he passes the torch to Timothy, he cannot express enough the importance of the Scriptures. They are essential for salvation. Romans 10:17, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. They are useful for being spiritually affected in the lives of others. And with evil men going from bad to worse in terrible times, they will become even more necessary for the servants of God and the work to which they have been called. It is Scripture that can thoroughly equip the man of God for every good work. Effective biblical ministry will not take place without being firmly grounded in the Holy Scriptures. Are you firmly grounded in the Word? The believer must be firmly grounded in God's Word to be spiritually effective in terrible times. Well, you have undoubtedly heard people say that mankind is getting better. And unfortunately, this is not only heard in the unbelieving crowd. There is actually a doctrine that is taught about the end times that says man will get better. They'll usher in the kingdom. Scripture tells us that evil men will only go from bad to worse. The two contradict each other. Much of what Paul describes as characteristics of the last days can be seen today, which should make us understand the urgency of being grounded in Scripture more than ever. Our race is going from bad to worse, just as God said it would. We can, however, in these terrible times, be spiritually effective. Well, how do we do that? Separate ourselves from the world. We have to be separate from the world to be spiritually effective in our work. We have to be wise, and God's word makes us wise. We have the wisdom of God. It is not to be intermingled with the wisdom of the world that taints wisdom. God's word prepares us for the battle. We have to be ready each day for the spiritual battle that we're in. We will not be ready if we are not grounded in Scripture. And God's word equips us for his work. For every good work, the believer has to be firmly grounded in Scripture to be spiritually effective in terrible times. Let's pray together. Our gracious God, we tell you thank you for your precious word, and we ask for forgiveness when we neglect it. We ask for forgiveness when we think that we can somehow serve you effectively and yet not be grounded in your word. Please remind us of this passage and others like it each day so that we'll be ready to battle, ready to do the work through your wisdom, and separate ourselves from the world so that we can have an impact and be effective during these terrible times to ultimately bring you honor and glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name.